Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains Cast, episode 40. I'm Joe Steinkamp with my trusty partner, Mr. J.J. Mordaw. How are you doing today this evening, sir?
Mordaw. My name gets pronounced a different.
You like how I do that? I do that very often week. For you. One of my very favorite shows of all time is called Action, and it was on Fox. It was in the early 2000s, and they would go to this L.A., like, you know, kind of fancy restaurant, and he would go, "Would you like a table?" And so for a long time I've been saying table and nobody ever gets the reference, but I own this on DVD. It's a great show.
That's okay. I'm okay not getting all your references. It really doesn't bother me at all.
I'm old. I have plenty of them.
It's all right. We're brought to you this week by Hims. Your needs are our solutions. Visit them at hims-inc.com. We have some Hims news a little bit later on too, in the news section, as well as an interview with Laz. It's Laz. I always was thinking Laz because that's what the screen reader says. Laz Meza from Accessible Electronics, famous for doing those Rockbox talking MP3 players, but now with a new Daisy media player, and we will hear a demo of it coming up a little bit later. A nice extended interview coming up.
Wow, that is going to be neat. And of course, we still have some news to get through. I mentioned I was old. I'm old enough to have played some of the original D&D. I actually have some of the original manuals, Jay, in my very large closet of crap, and I have often thought, wow, this would be so much better if it was in Braille for some of the people who play around me. Well, enter in 64-ounce games, who have a Kickstarter up and are asking people to donate. About $3,500 is what they're shooting for, and at the time of the recording, it was 13% I saw this morning. I don't know where they are this morning.
Oh, yeah, it's jumped. 2,122.
Oh, wow, they're almost there. So that is fantastic news.
Yeah, this is their second Kickstarter. They raised $20,000 a year and a half ago to do the basics for a lot of accessible board games. And they tried to do some dice at that point, but they had a much older 3D printer. And anybody who knows 3D printers knows that technology has come a long way, even in just a year and a half. So the goal is to get a better printer, make a lot more and better dice. I'm not an RPG guy, so you understand this, Joe. There's 4-sided, 6-sided, 8-sided, 10-sided.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 10, 12, 20. 20? Yes.
Yep. Yes. Okay, yep.
I don't think they'll do 100-sided. That might be asking a little much of Braille.
Come on, Richard.
I think that would be a very interesting boulder. That would be very, very perfect for convention. That's where you should like totally unleash it, and then we'll just roll them down the escalator. It'd be fantastic.
But you can donate. We've linked to the post, and it looks like they're well on their way. But if they get past the goal, more stretch goals, and they're going more into educational toys and tools and things as well. They've done some things in Braille in the past, and just some really innovative stuff. It's really cool to watch another small business and see how they're doing and help them expand.
And evolution is always the key. It happens in all sorts of products and their development. The same could be said with the Hims Blaze ET, now adding some wonderful things. You know, people ask for this back at convention. I remember Dave getting this question a couple of times. But now you can connect a Braille display to the ET and read in Braille off the ET?
That's a cool thing, yes. So it does have to be a Hims Braille display, which I guess makes sense because it's a Hims product. But you can connect any of their Bluetooth Braille displays, whether it is the Smart Beetle, I'm not going to sing it, or...
Oh, no, that's where Patrick will stick it in right about here or in the background.
Probably. Smart Beetle! Or any of the note takers, any of the Braille senses that are out there, or the Braille Edge. And you can Bluetooth connect to your Blaze ET. And yeah, you can navigate the unit, you can do OCR, and you can read from your Braille display. There you go. Interesting that you can do all of that from the unit.
That is fantastic. And now you're going to have to come up with some good questions for what to ask Dave next year, because that was a big one. That really was one that people asked about a lot. Now, if you have another brand of Braille display, say Humanware Brilliant, and you're kind of disappointed, and we're like, oh, but I want something cool as well. Well, we've got a new story for you as well. See, we've got some information about a Brilliant update that helps with its screen reading, also with JAWS.
Yeah, Windows 10 support, also HID support. This is human interface device support.
And not that's a geeky cannibalistic term. Humanoid underground dweller. That would be CHUD support, right? Okay.
No.
Okay.
So essentially, you can take a keyboard and you can plug it into any computer. That's how it works, through a protocol called HID. And that's how any keyboard can pretty much plug into any computer, and you don't have to put a driver on or anything. And some Braille displays, the Handytech ones have been doing this, and now it looks like the Brilliant is realizing, hey, why, we already have a standard, we might as well use it. So,
huzzah!
Version 2.1 of the firmware is out. It's free. You can download it now. They're saying in future versions of JAWS, you'll no longer need to get a driver for it. The current one, you need that. So download the JAWS driver for 17, I believe.
So this is a stepping away from the third-party Braille initiative, question mark?
I don't know. So how does that relate? I'm not exactly sure if that's part of the reason.
Yeah.
You would think Freedom still is going to make them sign. $9,000 a year or whatever it is. Or, you know,
but no, if there's other technology and it makes development go faster and the ecosystem go faster and updates can come out faster, especially with Windows 10 as fast as it's going to update, it seems like it would just make JAWS lighter and the handoffs better and give the Braille display companies a little bit more freedom as well. Oh, I hated to actually use it in that sense. A little bit more flexibility. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Well, I will never use it. You use that word. I didn't use that word. But that's a very good one. You could use a Braille display to read books, of course. And the New York Public Library has a wonderful new project going on with Bookshare.
This is cool. I heard about this a tiny bit when I was there in New York. They had kind of teased it, but now it's official and public and all that. If you are a member of the New York Public Library or the Andrew Heiskell Talking Book Library in New York City, you can get a free Bookshare membership, which is pretty sweet because there's 370,000 books on Bookshare. Now, a lot of you are probably listening, I'm not in New York. Why does this matter to me? Well, the way I see it, Bookshare is now kind of willing to set up a program for libraries. So I've already contacted my state library. There's some great people up there. And say, hey, did you hear about what happened in New York? This is pretty cool. What would it take to get this going in our state? So the other reason I put this up there is, so, hey, you know, Bookshare is doing this, so you might think about talking to your library, whether it's a library for the blind or just a local library, and seeing if it's something that they might be interested in doing. It might not cost them a ton of money, and they can say they offer accessible book services for the blind. So it's a really interesting program, and it's the first that we know of in the country for a current free book membership. Of course, if you're a student, you can get one for free as well.
Of course. And that's fantastic that we've got this kind of option happening. I mean, if you are a person who's into missing manuals or want to be able to get some of these really not necessarily expensive, but it can be if you're trying to get a bunch of programming books together and start reading a massive library of how-tos and things like that. Bookshare has a lot of those available in their membership, and it is definitely worth it. And you could use all that wonderful knowledge in making your projects better by using GitHub and NVDA. Yes, you can actually now move your projects through the programming place that a lot of people are using for open source. Seems like a great fit. Seems like something that will work out really well. The post here that we link to, though, does talk about a lot of changes that are going on with NVDA, both in popularity, but also in resources. I noticed that line about we're a small company and limited resources, and I use NVDA all the time. But one of the things in the early days, and I used to call it Timmy fell down the well syndrome, you would have in January, NVDA go, we need money, we need money, we're never going to exist, oh my God, please donate, donate, donate. And then in July, some white knight would come running in right during convention, and we're perfectly fine until the next year around January, then it would happen all over again. I'm not saying that this is cry wolf year, but you donate, Jay, I donate, there's all sorts of people who are donating, but it is a situation where if it does continue to get critical mass, can they be outstripped, or is there a matter where them going to GitHub says more than it actually is?
You know, I think it's a smart move. And basically what they're saying is, look, we have a limited amount of resources. And like any nonprofit, there are better ways that we can use those resources, such as perhaps hiring another programmer or, you know, doing more expansion of the product, where if there's already a reasonable solution that's out there for managing the technical behind the scenes open sourceness of the project, let's use it. So GitHub wasn't working for them a few years ago, but now they've added features. They like it. Why not? You know, if there's public services out there, you know, we do, we use Google Apps for all of our email because, that's, you know, true. The time that I used to spend to manage to keep up a mail server and just things wouldn't happen or spam would have problems, you know, why mess with that when there's perfectly good systems out there to do all this stuff. You know, I've tried to outsource a lot of that stuff where there's a good service available as long as it meets your needs. And, you know, it's the same thing here. Sometimes it's just more cost effective than wasting hours upon hours in your day to solve simple problems.
And this is
going to
be something you're going to hear from a lot of companies because, again, we've got a new version of Windows 10, the update coming out very soon. They've already worked out Redstone, which is the next two versions, but that's just then. You know, you've got Office 2016, 2013, 2010, 2007 is still being supported. Google today just announced that they're turning off Chrome support for Windows XP and Vista and like three versions of Mac OS. There's a lot of stuff for a screen reader company to have to figure out, or really any assistive technology company. Let me back that up and qualify it. There's a lot of stuff that they have to keep up with. So like you were saying, and I agree with you, if they can put some of the administration or some of that harder edged stuff up in the cloud that other people can help with in the community, that is fantastic because it allows them to keep up with all those operating systems, all those versions of Office. And I didn't even touch on Firefox, Chrome, Internet Explorer, and Edge. Those are all things that they also have to work with as well. So there's a lot of stuff out there now. It is a way different game than it used to be just recently, you know, say 2 years ago.
And even just finding enough beta testers to have all these different conversations, that's why a lot of these bugs happen. It's not because the company is necessarily being careless. It's just because how many users, you know, Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 10, Firefox, IE, Edge, Office 2007, 2010, 13, 16. I mean, there's just a lot of different combinations. And without being really crazy about it, you know, trying to find someone who's using every single one of these combinations, you're just not going to find it. So that's,
or
that's
why these things happen. Because you could use it, but you might not master it. You might miss something, or you might have to do that. Well, was it the screen reader, sure, or the screen magnifier, or is this a problem with their controls?
Right.
Is this user is this an accessibility issue or a user experience issue? Hello, LinkedIn is a perfect example of that, where it might be accessible to the letter of the law, but it might not be a very usable or friendly product. And that's a whole nother conversation. Like you're saying, the same thing could happen when you're trying to use Netflix, whereas Netflix is working on Apple devices in a lot of cases just fine when you're in iOS. But the new Apple TV, some have reported that they're having problems getting video description to be enabled and have had to go to some crazy kind of hoops to jump through in order to get their new Apple TV to work with audio description. Now, we've seen this in a couple places. I've not tried it on mine yet. I really hadn't thought about it in a while, and I haven't been watching a lot of descriptive content there. I've been watching more non-descriptive content on Netflix with the family lately because we're trying to catch up the young one on Doctor Who. Ha ha ha. So there's my reference. There is a phone number here. Jay, if you got it in front of you, I'll let you read it.
800-585-7265. And of course, then you have to reference a help topic because it's, you know, not simple enough.
Of course, help.
Reference article 32751. Now you can either rewind this about 10 times until you get it all, or you can go to the show notes and we'll have it there. Hopefully this gets fixed soon enough because that's definitely, you can choose languages and you can tell Siri switch to Spanish, but you cannot tell Siri that we know of switch to audio description at this point.
And Liam said you might take one or two people to get to find someone who understands it or might be able to help you reference it directly, which is also kind of, oh, really? Oh, but early days, you're an early adopter. That's what happens. And that's kind of what we were talking about a second ago. When you're getting into these new platforms, when you're getting into some of these platforms like Windows 10, a lot of that stuff gets put on later. You know, the cake is done. Let me do the icing in a bit. And that's just the way of doing it. So in a couple of months, maybe Apple TV is flawless out of the box for that new user who is just coming into the ecosystem.
Speaking of this cutting edge type stuff, ever heard of Turkcell? You haven't because they're in Turkey. Yeah.
Oh.
They're incorporating audio description into their mobile app. This is one of those, again, for movie theaters. They're saying it's the first of its kind, which, you know, I guess is pretty much true. So there was the, what
movie
was that
reading.
Once?
It's now called Solo DX. Yes.
Had a thing
and,
going,
and
but
it renamed. Yep.
I don't even know if that's active anymore or what's going on with
that.
It
is, I think, in Canada in some areas that it is sort of working and there is still titles that are available for it that work. But I don't know that anybody is actively supporting it in the United States. It's been about 7 months since I've looked at it. It still shows up in App Store reviews a lot, actually.
Well, there's that.
If you look at, you know, this person also downloaded blank, and that shows up.
Yeah, sometimes those are really old apps. So, it's another one of those. So it's audio description in theater. Audio description in theaters. where I don't know how this one works. We just kind of put the link and we saw this story to show that this is another problem that a lot of people are trying to solve. And perhaps that is the way to go, just to use your own phone as opposed to having to use their provided device. It might be a cheaper way to go in some instances.
Yeah, and a couple of months ago, we had a story and we had a little bit of a discussion of someone who had written on the big Twitterverse about having to go like 75 miles to a movie theater just to enjoy description, and then it wasn't working. And we had a conversation about, you know, yeah. And calling ahead seems like, wow, I have to call ahead. I have to book it, you know, I have to go to the theater to make sure, because sometimes they only have them in some theaters and they don't have them in others. And if you're going to go see the new James Bond movie, there's a small possibility that isn't in the theater that happens to have the audio description. And of course,
there's the next website idea for somebody.
Exactly.
You know, to create a website where you can people can rate their audio description experiences in theaters. All right, somebody get on that.
All menus for movie theaters. There we go. Yeah, that would be fantastic. You occasionally do see Regal put like voiceover support in their app. They have mentioned it in the past, so they are aware of it.
Regal seems to be. Even though I went to one Regal theater, they didn't exactly know what they were doing, but they seem to at least have it in most of their theaters. So. We'll keep following the movie thing, and of course, it's, you know, something I'm definitely interested in. I'm glad our theater here has it now, Alamo Draft House, but
not everywhere. Love the Draft House. There was a sale on KNFB Reader recently, and you might also remember, if you're a longtime listener of this show, that KNFB Reader finally came out for Android, and of course, somebody said, well, are they the same? Are they different? Do they have different kind of ways? How good are they? Here's a link to someone who doing a comparison. Naturally, of course, this would be pretty much dedicated to the model of phone. And I say that up front. So take this with a grain of salt, because an iPhone 5 camera is not the same as an iPhone 6S camera, the same way that cameras improve on a number of Android models and are all over the place as far as quality goes.
Yeah, this is from Cool Blind Tech. And yeah, I echo what you say there. It's... And even just hold the way you hold, unless you're doing it on a stand, you know, you're going to get different results with the same document. And I had not listened to this yet, but I will and see how this goes. Because it's, you know, as far as features, the one that comes to mind is you have a little more as far as sharing options on Android, just because of how Android works. And there's the general send to, where you can pick any app and send your OCR text to it. So that's really a function of Android, that's available there and not perhaps as far on iOS, as far as, say, sending it to email or sending it to, you know, whatever random app you want to send it to. Other than that, it does, to my thing, it seems to be pretty similar, but I'm just one person, and we'll check out this comparison from Cool Blind Tech, and you can see what's going on with that.
In the social world, there were a lot of people talking about that story again of the woman who blinded herself. She was on Dr. Phil. And we're not going to get back into that again, although there was a lot on Facebook and Twitter. So skipping away from that, I wanted something more positive, or at least so I thought. Here's an article about a blind student who's going to conduct a symphony. Now, I gave this article to my friend here on the other side of the mic, and you had an opinion about it?
You know, actually, I need to read the whole thing. It's just the headline was kind of like, okay, great. Gets to conduct like it's some sort of privilege. I feel like I've known blind conductors in the past. There's no real reason why a blind person couldn't conduct a symphony.
Is that a headline that is like 15 things that will kill you before 5 o'clock click kind of, you know, it's designed to either invoke a response to get clickbait, or is it a matter of, possibly the individual doesn't have a lot of familiarity with the community and through no research just said, this is an article that sort of works. And, you know, this is my touchstone. There we go. I don't know of any, so therefore there are none.
So it looks like this kid is just a kid, and it sounds like a cool experience for that. I don't want to, you know, the article, sometimes these articles have a cynical tone or like, you know, and, you know, he gets to his hearing is so much better, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't want to downplay the experience for the kid. Gregory Morgan is the kid's name. He is blind. He also has autism. And he is doing a thing in Greenville.
Hey, not
in
that far.
Greenville, that would be South Carolina. Yeah, South Carolina. Conducting a symphony. And he's been practicing quite a bit. I'm sure he's going to do a great job. But, you know, You know, sometimes you see these articles like, okay, blind person brushes his teeth for himself. Great.
Yeah. And, like that Chinese thing not too long ago. Yeah. The Chinese toothbrush that helps blind people be able to brush their teeth. That's way back around 20-something, around 27, I think. I agree with you. There is there's even a hashtag for it that's eluding me at the moment for these types of stories.
Well, there's been this ableist script thing that's been going on lately.
Yeah, that's kicked back up again. It sure has. And I was talking to Patrick about that just recently. And, you know, I was worried about that a little bit when Ricky and I go out and, you know, is it going to be, ooh, a blind couple? Oh, that's so neat. You know, we were both like keenly paying attention to, are you getting more perception because there's two of you? So it's already rare that I see one of you out in the wild. They come in pairs and that kind of thing. We haven't, for the most part. People have been very receptive, but we're in a very good area for that kind of thing. And people are very forward and open and able to deal. And I've been lucky enough to live in a lot of places like that, Austin, certain parts of Houston, not necessarily in some places that are a little bit more geographically challenged on transit. But for the most part, I've not really run into this. But, you know, Liam took the wheelchair the other day and somebody asked him for the airport, you know, oh, that's just offensive that they put you in a wheelchair. And Liam's like, you know, hey, I just feel like I'm being chauffeured. You know, it feels fantastic. In some airports, I don't fight it. I'm thinking of you, Chicago. And having to run from gate to gate. So that,
yeah, it's whatever case suits you. I'm just fine in Chicago, but some other people, they're, you know, and sometimes it's a time thing. Sometimes you only have 35 minutes between flights. And I know airports like Minneapolis where, you know, it's not even a blind thing. They have them out for everywhere because there's no walkways, no trains, nothing in that airport.
So exactly.
They just bring them out for anybody who needs them. So, you know.
So this comes around to the homework for you, dear listener. Do you want to see more stories that are very positive about the community but might have this kind of tone? Or do you not want to see these kinds of stories, or they bother you, or that kind of thing? We're actually just kind of sort of getting everybody's opinion about how they feel about these types of stories and whether they need to be in the newsfeed or not.
Or what's the right way to present them.
Exactly. So that's why we went all over the place on this last story here, is because we wanted to give you kind of a wide palette to choose from. And we want to hear your opinion. Feedback at blindbargains.com, or go ahead and tweet us, twitter.com/blindbargains.
We're going to hear a bunch about a new talking digital media player that does quite a few things and plays about 35 different formats of audio and Daisy and music and all sorts of things. And we're going to hear about it in just a second from Laz from Accessible Electronics. But first, this from him. Stay tuned.
HIMS wants you to meet EBOT, the first portable reading, writing, near, and distance video magnifier. The advanced and pro models also have optical character recognition. Use EBOT to read a smart board, papers on your desk, or any other printed materials. Connect EBOT through its built-in Wi-Fi network to your iPad or other tablet, your Mac or PC, or plug in any monitor you like. EBOT is lightweight and has ample battery life to get you through your busy day. Find out more about EBOT by calling HIMS at 888-520-4467 or by visiting us at www.hims-inc.com. HIMS. Your needs are our solutions.
Welcome back to the Blind Bargains Cast. I'm JJ here, and it's time for our interview segment for this week, talking about MP3 players, but more than that, a brand new Daisy book player from a longtime friend of Blind Bargains, Laz Meza. Laz has come up with a new Daisy book player called the Daisy Book Reader and Media Player, and he's here to show it to us and answer all sorts of questions. Laz, welcome to Blind Bargains.
Thank you, JJ. I appreciate it.
So tell us a little bit, first of all, about your company, Accessible Electronics. Of course, you've done a lot of the Sansa and the Rockbox players in the past. So tell us a little bit of how you've started out, and then we'll get into this new item that you have.
Yeah, we started back in 2009, and we started selling Rockbox MP3 players set up so that blind people and VI people could use them. And they were set up by myself, and we sold quite a few of those. And then we moved on to other models, and the last ones we're offering are the Clip Plus and the Clip Zip. And since those were becoming hard to get a hold of, we started looking for a different type of player that we could offer to our customers. And here's what we found: the Daisy Book Reader and Media Player.
That's a pretty generic name. So this is a brand new item, or is this a product that's been out that you're bringing into the U.S., or where did this come from?
It's been out in the past, and we're bringing it into the U.S. We became the U.S. distributor for this product, and I worked with the manufacturer so that it was more suited to U.S. customers.
As far as like modifying features and things like that, or making it a little more... So they made changes just for you.
Yeah, basically, I didn't like some of the way things were reported and spoken by the player. So we worked out that kind of stuff, and it's now speaking very good English and works really well. It has a speaker on the back. It covers, I'd say, about 80 to 90% of the back is a speaker. It's about the size of an iPhone 4S or 5. But not as wide. So it'll fit in your hand. It'll fit in your pocket. Not a problem. And all the controls are buttons on the face of the player. So starting off with the top left, we have the power button. And on the right, we have the record button, which is used to make recordings. In between the two, you'll find the microphone. It's a dot, but you won't be able to feel it, but it's there. Then below that, we have the navigational cross up, down, left, right with the OK button in the middle.
Okay.
Below that, menu button on the left-hand side. Right side is the escape or cancel button or back button. Then below that, we have the volume down on the left, volume up on the right. And in the middle, we have the information button, which will give you information depending on where you are on the player.
How are these buttons shaped?
They're round buttons. The OK button is about... at least twice the size of the other buttons. And the power button has a dot right above it, so you can find that real easily. They click as you push them.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And down at the bottom, we have three more buttons. The one on the left is a music button, which will basically resume playing from the beginning of the track, the last song you were listening to. And on the right-hand side, we have the bookmark button, which will let you create bookmarks for anything you're listening to, whether it's Daisy Book, ebook, or MP3 files, or whatever. And in the center is a radio button, which we're working with the manufacturer to get that to be more functional. It functions just barely at this time. And those are all the buttons.
Okay. Are there any ports? What about connectivity? Does it have USB or Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, or what are you looking at?
No Bluetooth, no Wi-Fi. At the bottom, you have the earphone jack on the left, the USB connection in the center, and on the right, you have a line-in/microphone port, so you can record from external mic or through the line-in.
Okay, and it charges via the USB port, or is there another way?
It charges via the USB port. Yeah, you can use the wall charger or connect it to your computer.
Okay, and what about built-in memory or memory cards? How does that work?
It comes with 8 GB built-in, and... it's rated at 32 gigabytes for the microSD card, but I did format a 64 gigabyte microSD card, and it works fine.
Yeah, you know, we've noticed that with a lot of the newer microSD standard that either you're not allowed to claim it, or, you know, they just can't officially say it's supported, but a lot of the XC cards... did you have to format it a different way, or didn't as FAT32?
It has to be formatted as FAT32.
Okay. Yeah, that's true for a lot of these. So it is micro SD, so that's nice and tiny. And then I'm assuming is it a replaceable battery?
This is what the manufacturer told me. It can be replaced, but you have to unscrew the back, and there may be some soldering to be done, but it can be done. Hopefully it would be somebody sighted doing it for you, because I don't know how well a blind person can deal with a soldering iron.
I think it depends on your comfort level. Actually, I've seen some tools from the Smith Kettlewell file. There's been an article on how to do that. But either way, a little more effort than just taking it up, but it is replaceable perhaps. So, okay. And then, so that's what does it weigh about? Or?
It's very light. It weighs, I'd say at the most, half an ounce maybe? Or no, wait a minute. I said it in the MP3 tutorial. I don't have it up right now, but...
Well, mostly, just a few ounces, probably. I mean,
it's a few ounces. Right? It's very light. Okay. It comes with lanyards, and you can hang it from your neck, and it doesn't drag you down to the ground or anything. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Does it come with a case or anything like that? Or?
No case. It just comes with two lanyards. One is a wrist and one is for your neck.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, enough talking from us. Why don't we, let's have you turn this thing on and let us, you can just kind of just give us a little bit of a basic overview of some of the things that it can do.
All right. I just turn it on. That's the little jingle you get. And then it takes about 10 seconds to come up and speak. But I forgot to tell you the micro SD card slot is. Digitally remastered, 1996. OG, 2.12 megabytes. That's the Ivona voice.
Oh, what voice is that? Ivona, yes. Okay.
Ivona Sally. All right, so.
Main folder, record, folder. Choose internal memory or micro SD card internal memory.
All right, so you can choose whether you want to work with the internal memory or the micro SD card. And that's the basic screen where you start off. I don't have a micro SD card inserted, so let me grab one out of my other player. The micro SD card itself is on the left-hand side of the player, and it's about a third of the way down on the left-hand side. So,
gotcha.
Insert the micro SD, and it clicks into place. And as you saw, it recognized it real quick. So let me get back to that screen where you choose what memory
or micro SD card. Micro SD card.
Like I said, you have
internal memory.
Internal memory or the micro SD card.
Micro SD card. Main folder. Audiobooks folder.
So then it lists out all the folders.
Daisy folder.
And whether you work with the internal memory or the micro SD card, you're going to have two folders that are in there. They're put in there by the player. They're the Daisy folder and the record folder.
Ebooks folder. Music folder. Record folder.
Any other folders aside from those are the ones that I put in. So you can create your folders and put them anywhere you want on the player. Or you can put files right on the root directory. It doesn't matter.
So the Daisy folder, is that mostly for organization, or do you have to put Daisy books in the Daisy folder?
Daisy books go in the Daisy folder.
And that's how it knows that they're Daisy. Gotcha.
Yeah, I actually haven't tried a Daisy folder outside of the folder, but I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Okay.
And the record folder is where it's going to store your recordings. So, okay.
So what kind of formats does this do here?
It does the usual MP3, WAV, it does FLAC, Ogg Vorbis, MP4, M4A, AAC. That's about all the ones that I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, that's audio, then other... Then different Daisy formats or as well? Or?
Version 2 and 3. And on the ebooks, it does EPUB, of course, text files, docs, docx, EPUB, MOBI, HTML, PDF. And I think those are the major ones.
Sure. So essentially, what that means as far as Daisy books is you're going to have, you'd be yes to Bookshare, but not no to NLS, correct?
As far as I know, somebody said that they're going to send me a Daisy file to check, and I've yet to receive it. But obviously, I can't claim that it'll do NLS at this point in time. And as well,
yeah, usually there's additional programming and things required for that.
Yeah, as well as there is no Audible support for this player either.
Sure. So, do you have any books on there right now, or any music? Or
I have some music, and I do have an ebook.
Burroughs folder. Lynn M. Thomas and Sigrid Delis. Ed. Chickstick Comics, a celebration of comic books by the women who love them. Moby. Moby. 463.8.
Joe would want the comic book book.
Yeah.
Chickstick Comics, a celebration of comic books by the women who love them. All rights reserved. No part of this book may be reproduced or transmitted.
And of course you can navigate.
And we owe her the opportunity to rest for a little while.
Let me pause it for a second.
Go for it. Yeah, sure. What kind of navigation options do we have?
All right. So using the up and down buttons, you can choose
1%. Page.
Navigate by page.
Paragraph. Sentence. Word. Letter. Spell.
It'll spell the words as you go.
10%.
And 10%. Then there's also...
Lynn M. Thomas and Sigrid Delis. Ed, Chickstick, pause.
Let me see. If you hit the menu button.
Go to page.
You have the go to page.
Go to heading. Voice, Sally. Speed, 0. Background music volume, disable. Select background music 01. Go to page.
You have a few other selections of things you can do with.
That's an interesting thing I've never seen before. So you can set background music while you're reading a book?
Yeah, it's got some preset music, you know, soothing kind of stuff and that kind of thing, and set the volume for it so you can have something going on in the background while you're reading.
Can you bring in your own music to that, or is it just preset?
Not as far as I know. It seems to be preset that way.
Okay.
So there's about 9 of them, I think.
So we saw the voice there, Sally. Is there any other voices, or is that the choice?
We have, let me see.
1%, page, paragraph, sentence, word, letter, spell, 10%.
Where did I have that? Let me see.
Under menu. Yeah, if you go, it was in the menu.
Then in Thomas and Sigrid Delis. Chick stick, pause.
Yeah.
Go to page. Go to
page. There we go.
Voice.
Sally. Voice. So once you hit the menu and you're on voice, you hit the left and right buttons to make a different selection. So,
voice, Joey.
There's Joey. So you can bring him
setting
up.
Setting done.
And now when we start reading.
Chicks Dig Comics, a celebration of comic books by the women who love them. All rights reserved. No part of this book may be reproduced or transmitted.
With a very clear voice. We don't see the Ivona ones used as much, but.
Pause.
Yeah, I myself prefer
for reading
Sally.
Books. Yeah. Yeah, Sally might fit Chicks Dig Comics a little more, but either way, for clarity, you know, Ivona isn't necessarily the most responsive as a screen reader voice, but as a book reading voice.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the clearer ones you're going to get.
Yeah, they're very excellent voices for reading books and stuff like that.
Sure. Of course, you can make it faster.
Yeah. Yeah, there's speed settings and all that kind of stuff in here.
Letter. Spell.
I have to go to the menus.
Joey. Speed. Zero.
You can adjust the speed.
Speed one. Speed two.
Yeah, you can make it faster or you can make it slower.
Speed minus one. Speed minus two.
So you have to press OK to hear what that's going to sound like. It's not doing this on the fly.
Yeah,
but
it's not going to do it on the fly, but once you hit the OK, let me speed it up a little bit.
Speed one. Speed three. Setting done.
No part of this book may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or
a little faster.
Electronic or mechanical, including photography, recording or
pause. Speed three. Background music volume. Disc speed three.
Let's see how fast it can go.
Can we hear the fastest? Yeah.
Speed five. Speed six. Speed speed 16. Speed 17. Speed,
oh boy.
18.
It can go really fast.
Let's do it.
19. Speed 20.
Let's stop at 20.
20 seems like about, yeah.
Setting down.
All right. Well,
yeah.
You'll never get the complaint that, like on some devices, that the speed doesn't go fast enough.
Yeah, this will definitely go fast. And as you notice, it didn't change the pitch.
As fast as you need.
The pitch remained the same, just faster.
Yeah, sure. But it keeps the other voice as kind of like the settings voice as well.
Yeah, it's two different settings for the system voice and for the reading voice.
So that's a book. Well, you might want to fix this voice before we go on here.
Yeah.
Speed 20. Speed.
You at least down to like speed, five or.
Speed, 10.
You want five?
Speed
8.
Speed 6. Speed 5.
I guess it doesn't speed affect down. This. It's just. Okay.
Let's see.
www.madnorwegian.com. Edited by
there you go.
Thomas and Sigrid Ellis, editor in chief. Lars Pearson.
How about some music?
You want to play some music while it does it, or just playing music?
Oh, actually, let's do that.
Just when
we saw this back. Yeah, let's just see what happens here. You know, it's something a little different. If it's like a 5-second loop, it's going to get really annoying, but if it's a little more, then.
Background
you know.
Music volume, disable. Select background music 01. Select background music 02.
Let's try it.
Select background music 01. Setting done.
Now, let's see the volume. Well, let's leave the volume alone.
Cover art, Kate Shuttleworth, jacket and.
Now, I haven't tried doing this too much, so.
Pause.
We're figuring it out as we go here.
Letter. Spell. Select background music 01.
Let's try background music
02. Select background music 02. Go to page.
Okay.
Select background music volume. Disable.
Ah, the volume was off.
Background music volume, 1 to 9. Background music volume, 2 to 8.
Let's try that.
Okay.
Setting done.
First print edition, April 2012. First ebook edition, April 2012. Introduction copyright.
A little Japanese music for you. Or Chinese, whatever it is.
Now, if we're talking about anime comics, this could work.
True. All right, let's see if we can get some different music here.
2 to 8. Yeah.
Let's try.
Select background music 08. Select background music 09. Select background music.
There's at least 10 of them.
Select background music 11.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, wow.
Select background music 15.
Oh.
Select background music 07. Select background music 08.
Well, those will be your next project to see if you can, if these are just sitting in a folder somewhere and they can be swapped out.
Let's try the 10th one.
Okay.
Setting done.
Last, stepping into Gotham City, Coates Clay, creation, and community copyright Erica McGillivray. A matter of when copyright Carlos B. McNeil, the other side.
Oh, what is it? I hear it in the background. Deleted,
19 panels about
yeah, it sounds like an Sarah organ.
Ryan. I'm Batman copyright Tammy Garrison. My secret identity copyright Carolyn Prout. The Green Lantern, my thoughts. A metaphor for mine.
That's a little more background-ish than the last one.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's something a little different. You never you always like seeing different features to see what, if it works. Do we have like a sleep time or anything like that for books? Or
yeah, that's in the settings. Let me get out of this.
Yeah, why don't we? We'll check out music in a second. We'll see what kind of settings we have.
Okay.
Or especially anything that you find especially interesting.
Yeah, the first two are the firmware information and information. And information about the device.
Time settings.
And then we have time settings.
Yeah. If there were an update, then could you download it over USB and all that, or?
It's basically you just drop it into the player, and when you disconnect it, it goes off and does it. It takes about 10 seconds.
Do you anticipate that? Are they still updating this unit, or?
Yeah.
Or is this pretty much what's going to be? Okay, so they will be updating it.
Yeah, because I have to tell them about a few things that I think should be improved upon and that kind of thing, and.
Okay.
You know,
we'll come back to that.
Yeah. They
so time.
They like to work with us.
System voice. That's time settings.
Time settings.
Oh, so you can there's system voice. So you could change her there too, I see.
Yeah.
It's just a separate setting.
Separate setting for the system as there is with the voice. But as far as time, there's the idle time off or idle power off. So if you let it sit for the preset amount you set it for, be 5-10 minutes or never. It'll turn off if you haven't touched the player since that point. It'll just shut it off automatically.
Set time and date.
This is where you set your time and date.
Sleep timer.
And here's the sleep timer. And basically...
Hour, 12 a.m.
You tell it what hour...
Minute, zero. Disable.
And whether to enable or disable it. So then, once you set that...
That's a different approach, but an interesting one. So instead of the saying, I'm going to sleep in 10 minutes, you're saying, I'm going to go to sleep at this time.
Right.
And I don't know which one's better or worse, but that's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, so if you start at 11, you want to be asleep at 11:30, have it turn it off.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then let's see.
Automatic power on.
And it'll even turn itself on if you wanted to at any time in the day.
Oh, okay. So you could have it essentially as an alarm... Wake up to a book or music or something.
No, it just turns it on for you. If you're that lazy, you know, it'll turn the player on for you. And
that's me.
Yeah. The alarm is, I believe it's under the tools, which we'll get to in a second. What was this one? Let's see.
Automatic time announcements.
Yeah, it'll announce the time, 15, half hour to an hour increments. So if you're listening to something, it'll announce the hour every 15 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever you set it to.
Time format.
And the time format, of course, 12 or 24 hour.
Idle power off.
All right, now let's see.
File management, delete.
Let me get to the tools.
Then Intomic main folder, choose internal memory, time settings. Micro SD card. Time settings. System voice. Alarms. Resume play settings.
There we go.
Alarms.
Alarms.
Alarm 1, 10:46 a.m.
It's got...
Recurrent, close.
It's got 5 alarms you can set, and you can use your own music on this one. So right now I have it set to wake up at, I forgot what time I had it set for. I think it's set up for a Wednesday,
alarm
too.
Let's see.
So you'll find out tomorrow.
Hour, 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m.
Minute,
46.
10:46. Enable. Recurrent, Wednesday.
For Wednesday. So you can set it for any day in the week. And whether you wanted to keep the alarm or not.
Enable. Minute 46.
And
then how do you set it to pick music or something?
when you go into one of the alarms.
Hour, 10 a.m.
Let's
alarm
see.
Signal, 04 Waterhole, digitally remastered,
in
1996.
Here.
Setting done dot alarm 1, 10:46 a.m. Enable.
Oh, current that seems close. To be the same as the background music.
Alarm 5, 12 yeah. a.m.
Let me just find the first alarm here.
Alarm 2, 12 a.m. Alarm 1, 10:46 a.m. Alarm 2, 12 a.m. Alarm 1, hour, 10 a.m.
All right, so we got the hour.
Minute.
Enable.
Recurrent. Wednesday. Alarm signal. 04 Waterhole.
Alarm signal.
1996. Select alarm signal.
All right, so if you want to choose... Now, what I found out is that the audio track you want to play for the alarm needs to be in your root, in the root directory. It can't be on the micro SD card because you can't navigate to it to choose it. So once you're here...
Select alarm signal.
Where it says select alarm signal, you press the OK button.
Daisy, folder.
And it lets you choose...
Record, folder.
My record in the root directory. I think it's...
Daisy, folder.
Okay.
It's in... Oh, wait a record. Minute. I think it's in...
So as far as the alarm, it's kind of like on a standby mode and it will power back on.
Yeah.
What's the battery life?
It'll turn itself on when the alarm tells it to wake up. The battery life is about 6 hours playing an Ogg Vorbis file through the speaker. It played for 6 hours.
Okay. And obviously it'd be considerably longer if it's standby for an alarm.
Yeah. I had it sitting for, what was it, a couple of days. And I forgot I had set the alarm because when I was testing it, and all of a sudden the song started to play on my desk. And I was like, what? And it was the alarm.
There it is. Did we see there's a way to, is there a way to check battery status?
Yes, you hit the information button, and I believe it's three times to get the battery level full.
So full is like, it's more like full or half full or something like that? Or
well, it goes by 25 percentages, so full means it's above 75%, up to 100%. Then, it goes down by 25 percentages.
Okay. Yeah, let's get back to you. Let's see what kind of music you have on your... Here, little thing here.
Now, this may be a little bit before your time, JJ.
Wait a minute. I ain't that young.
Well, you sound young. All right, let's see here. Let me see where
I was born in Baffert or before 1996.
Well, that's good. All right, so let's go into the micro SD card slot.
Main folder, ebooks folder.
Let's see.
Music folder. Crosby, Stills.
Did you ever hear of Crosby, Stills,
and Nash? Yes, of course I have.
1977 CSN.
I'll just start it playing in. We can go to the next track if we want.
That came up right away, of course.
Yeah, it's very fast. It's got a good processor in it.
Sure. Fast forward, rewind. Is there anything else like EQ or anything here?
Yeah. Let's see. It's. Okay, let's see. All right, let me pause it.
Playing mode normal. Equalizer normal.
You got your equalizer, which is.
Equalizer pop. Equalizer rock. Equalizer jazz. Equalizer classical. Equalizer normal. Equalizer pop.
So you got about five selections in the equalizer.
Equalizer normal.
And they're presets. So it doesn't offer you the capability of adjusting your own equalizer.
Speed normal.
Then you can speed it up if you like or slow it down.
Pitch zero.
And
so if you do have audiobooks in MP3 or whatever, that's obviously useful for that.
Yeah, you can speed it up or slow it down. And if you want to play with the pitch and make it sound like chipmunks, you can do that.
Speed, normal, pitch, zero. Step 10 seconds.
Now here's where is the way you navigate. Like if you want to go forward or backward in the file, it starts at 10 seconds.
Step 30 seconds.
30.
Step 1 minute.
1 minute.
Step 5 minutes. Step 10 minutes. Step 30 minutes. Step 1 hour. Step 1 hour.
And when I first saw that, I was a little bit hesitant. But then I realized, well, wait a minute, because what happened was I got lost. I lost my place in the book. My bookmark didn't save or something like that. I popped it in this player, And using the different steps you can use,
step 30 minutes.
I used the 1 hour one to skip much closer and then brought it down
step 5 minutes, step 1 minute,
to smaller increments until I was able to zero in on the exact place where I was.
Sure.
And then continue. That makes a lot of sense.
Step 10 seconds.
So it really works out well. In my opinion, it worked out better for me than trying to fast forward, you know, 4 or 5 hours into a book.
Because did we see there's no book? Are there bookmark features in this? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, so you could set a bookmark too.
Yeah, excellent bookmarks. Let me.
Setting done.
Okay, so here we are listening to a song and you want to set a bookmark. You press the bookmark button.
Add bookmark.
And so you did say there was a button for this.
Yeah,
okay.
And then. Since it's on add bookmark, I say okay by pressing the okay button.
Bookmark one added, 0 minutes, 10 seconds.
I like how it tells you the time of the bookmark.
Yeah. And it continues to play.
Okay. Now, if you want to go back to it?
If you want to go back to it,
ShadowCaptain.mp3, 8.5 megabytes.
You click the bookmark button.
All bookmarks list, 01. ShadowCaptain.mp3, 1 bookmarks.
There it is, and you click the OK button.
01. ShadowCaptain.mp3, bookmark 1, 0 minutes, 10 seconds.
Tells you how far into it was. And you're back into it.
So the bookmarks are global, which ends up being pretty cool, so you don't even necessarily have to be in the book to get to its bookmarks.
Exactly. Plus, when you're in the bookmarks area...
Add bookmark.
No, I don't want to add a bookmark.
ShadowCaptain.mp3, all bookmarks list, 01. ShadowCaptain.mp3, 1 bookmarks.
Okay, so you hit the right arrow or left arrow.
Ebook bookmarks list, Lynn M. Thomas and Sigrid Delis, Ed, Chickstick Comics, A Celebration of Comic Books by the
So you got a section for the ebooks.
Audio bookmarks list,
Audio bookmarks.
ShadowCaptain.daisy bookmarks list,
Daisy bookmarks.
All bookmarks list, 01.
And the one that contains them all.
One bookmarks. Artifact Hunters 01 Nefertiti's Heart 01 ShadowCaptain.
And is there a limit on how many bookmarks or?
No. Just I've had it in here with a couple of different audiobooks, a bunch of songs, Daisy books and ebooks, and it was fine. No problems at all.
If you're listening to a long MP3 file and you stop it, will it remember your place or should you set a bookmark there when you come back?
It's best to set a bookmark. It'll auto-resume under ebooks, Daisy books, and music. You can set it to auto-resume in those three. But in any other folders, you should create the bookmark.
Okay. Any other features that we haven't really mentioned that we should take a look at? Or
Speaking of the bookmarks, if you're a musician and you want to learn a particular guitar lick or something and you want it to play over and over, you can do that with the bookmark. Let's just... do a
Shadow
quick example. All right, so when you get to the point where you want to set the start, you hit your bookmark.
Add bookmark.
And then you arrow to...
bookmark list. Start mark, highlight bookmark.
Start mark.
Mark start place.
Then it continues to play until you get to the place you want to stop. And you can hit the pause and hit your bookmark.
In mark, highlight bookmark.
And let's see...
highlight bookmark.
There's the end.
Yeah,
mark.
It went straight to end, which is makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Highlight bookmark to added from 0 minutes 15 seconds to 0 minutes 22 seconds.
And then it'll just play it until you stop it.
See here? Yep, and there wasn't any pause. Yeah. It jumped right around. Endless dance loop.
Yeah.
If you want, you just gotta keep going.
Yeah, so yeah, to stop it, you just press the escape button. And I think now it'll just play the regular. Oh. I'd hit the right button instead. Yeah, you just hit the escape button. It'll stop playing it. But if you look in your bookmarks.
All bookmarks list, 01. ShadowCaptain.mp3, 2 bookmarks.
Now we have the highlight. Yeah.
Let's see the highlight.
Artifact Hunters 01 Omega Group 02 Omega Group 01 Crossfire Omega it. Artifact Hunter 01. ShadowCaptain.mp3, 2 bookmarks. 02 California Jam.flack 01. 01.
Let's see if that's it.
ShadowCaptain.mp3, bookmark 2. Highlight 01. ShadowCaptain.mp3, bookmark 1, 0 minutes 10 seconds, 01.
This must be it. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
01. ShadowCaptain.mp3, 8.5.
So it's good for musicians. You know, if you need to practice a particular lick or whatever, you can use that.
That's interesting. You mentioned talking to the developer that you're working with, that there's some things that you would like to see improved. What are you hoping for the future?
I was wanting to see if we could get the NLS support going. I have a contact for the NLS, so I want to get the two of them together somehow so we can figure out if we can actually get this done. And there were a few other things that I had wanted to talk to him about. I just can't think of them off the top of my head, because once I send the email, I try to forget about it until I get a reply. Yeah, I also wanted to see if they could do something about the battery life, because, it's good, but, you know, because I know with Rockbox, what they do is they set up all the firmware, and then at the end, you know, they work on the battery life. So they tweak it, do different things so to get more battery life out of it, and I wanted to see if they could work on that.
Sure. So perhaps one of the more interesting things about this player is the price of the player, which is considerably less than any of the other dedicated DAISY units that we know of. So what is that price? How people get a hold of it?
Yeah, the price for the unit, the regular price is $259.99, and we're going to be selling them for $249.99. But right now, they're on special for $229.99. So you're saving, you know, at least $30. You're saving $30 off the retail price of the player.
Sure. And compare that to some of the others that are $300-$400 or more. Perhaps it's a middle ground between the really cheap MP3 players, which did a fair amount, and the really expensive or more expensive DAISY players that have a few more features, but not everybody may want those features.
True. They can be gotten from our site, which is talkingmp3players.com. And that's all one word, no caps or anything like that. And like I said, the price is $229.99, and I'll even make a special deal, even if the price does go up, if they mention the podcast from Blind Bargains, I'll give them the $229.99 price.
That's awesome. There you go. You heard it here, folks. If people want to email you and have other questions, what's the other best way they can get a hold of you?
They can always call me at 727-498-0121 or Skype me at Laz Mesa, LAZMESA. And the email address is Laz, LAZ, at talkingmp3players.com.
And of course, we hear from Laz a lot, as he's a regular user of our classifieds as well. So you see him there many times if you follow the site. But it's the first time you've been on the podcast. We appreciate you coming by and showing us the MP3 player and everything else.
Not a problem. Anytime you want to talk to me, I'm here. And thank you very much for inviting me.
We'll have more coming up on the Blind Bargains cast. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Travis, and here's a quick tip on Windows 10. When you're using Windows 10, you want to check out context menus. There are a lot of things that I found under context menus that I did not know were there. Now, to activate a context menu in Windows 10, you will use your Applications key, which is to the right of the spacebar, Shift F10, or you can use simply the right mouse click on an item to see if it has a context menu. What I want to show you is a context menu under the Start button, the Task Manager, and the context menu that relates to processes, because in there is a really cool new feature that I did not know was there. So first, let's go ahead and let's open our context menu under the Start button.
Windows M. Tab.
Start button.
There's the Start button. Now, if I press Enter on this, it's going to open the Start menu. If I open that Start menu, it's going to give me the normal Start features that are there, which is kind of cool in Windows 10. But if I press its Context menu button, I'm going to find a whole other menu that has some features I didn't know were there originally.
Applications.
Context menu. Programs and features.
F.
Here we see something like the Programs and Features option. That'll take you to a place where you can uninstall a program if you'd like. Now, there are a lot of other features under here. I'm not going to go through them all, but what I want you to know is there's a lot there. But I'm going to arrow down until we hear Task Manager. You'll hear some things that are there, but it'll also take us to what I want to show you.
Mobility Center.
Me.
Power Options.
Oh.
Event Viewer.
Me.
System.
Y.
Device manager.
M.
Network connections.
Double.
Disk management.
A.
Computer management.
C.
Command prompt.
C.
Command prompt admin.
A.
Task manager.
T.
There's task manager. You also hear that you can use the quick key T to navigate right there.
Enter.
I've pressed enter.
Leaving menus, task manager, task manager main, list of items.
So here comes the task manager. If you're familiar with Windows and the task manager, this isn't going to be terribly new. There are tabs across the top for processes, for system resources, for what processes start. So the startup issues are there. But what I want to look at are the processes here under the processes tab, which is where I land.
List of items.
Name, status, CPU, memory, disk, network.
Adobe Acrobat Update Service 32-bit.
Collapse.
The Adobe Acrobat.
Adobe Acrobat Update Service 32.
Update service, so we can make sure that my Adobe's updating.
I'm 32 plus 30. Apple IE tab 32-bit.
Lots of things there. Let's say, for example, I don't know what this Apple IE process is. Let's try the context menu and see what we can do.
Applications.
Context menu.
E.
At resource value submenu.
V.
There's the resource value.
Create dump files.
C.
Go to details.
G.
Open file location.
O.
Open file location. If I wanted to find out where this file was actually located on my computer and see it, that's the place to go.
Search online.
S.
But here is my favorite new feature. Search online. When I press enter on this, it's going to open Internet Explorer and give me a Bing search on this very particular process.
Enter.
Leaving menus. Task manager main, list of items table, background processes, Apple IE tab 32-bit, Apple EDIF, X Apple IE tab 32-bit, Bing Internet Explorer provided by Toshiba, Apple EDIF.
Stop speech here. The Internet Explorer has opened, and at the top we're going to see that this is now
Apple EDIF, X Apple IE tab 32-bit Bing.
There is the Bing search for this process. I'm going to go by heading.
Bing heading level 1 link. What is Apple EDIF X prefixer heading level 2 link?
This takes you to at least one search option to ask you what is this and does it need to be fixed?
Apple EDIF X, should I block it? MD5 heading level 2 link.
Should I block it? Same concept. If you've done much with your computer in the past, you know that there are times when you are looking for a process, you don't know what it is, it's going to have a weird set of characters or letters, or maybe you just don't know what it is, and you want to know, should I keep this? Should I block it? Should I uninstall it? Should it be there? Is it important? Whatever. And this search online feature actually helps us to do this without having to somehow find the name, hope to remember it, copy it, and paste it. It does it all for us. That's a really cool tool in Windows 10. Really, the whole point of this tip, though, is you need to be looking at your context menus all over Windows 10 because you're going to find that there are really cool options, really cool features, really cool things you can do if you use Windows, if you use the context menus here in Windows 10. And again, do it on the Start button, Explore, go into the Task Manager, and then find that you can actually search for processes online. That is a really helpful feature. Again, this has been Travis. This is a Windows 10 tip. Thanks for listening.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Got an email here from Miss Armstrong, who has written in once or twice before, but this email is very timely, and that's why we're going to feature it this week, because she brings up a very good question. With all the Black Friday sales just now starting to happen, and you're going to see these amazing deals on tablets, how do you know if they are friendly to screen reader or screen magnifiers? You know, are all these things off the shelf, have talkback or have voiceover or have some other thing in them? She mentioned specifically the Amazon tablet. There's one that's out for $50. Yeah, $50 Amazon tablet. My first, before we get into the accessibility thing, read the reviews of the device you want to buy before you even get into accessibility. I know that sounds strange, but it's not worth it unless you feel comfortable that it is a nicely reviewed tablet. You know it's going to be durable. You know it's going to meet your needs. That really comes into play for me on a lot of these things. Now, with Amazon, it's a whole kettle of fish because Amazon uses a Fire OS, which is a forked version of Android. It does have a screen reader in it, TalkBack, but it's a modified version of TalkBack. It's not the exact same as a TalkBack you would get on a Google, like a Nexus device. Buddy Brandon, as you've heard on this show, he has a couple of Amazon devices, and he's my go-to guy for being able to ask these kinds of questions about how different they are, or there are some specific gestures that differ from TalkBack on an Android device that's a little different than the Fire OS. Samsung, another one that Jay and I are personally familiar with, uses TouchWiz, and TouchWiz has some accessibility tweaks within it that is different than stock Android. And if you have a Samsung device and you want to play around with that, go get Google Launcher, and that will simulate the Google Home screen that would come on a Nexus device, and you will see a lot of differences between what TouchWiz is doing as far as that is concerned. Or you can go get what Steve Nutt has always loved, Nova Launcher, and get around both of those.
You know, a lot of it you get what you pay for, and it's not just the tablets. It's every year where you're going to see, yours probably going to be, what, the $99 laptop or
Doorbuster, you know, deal.
Right. Most of these are the bargain basement options, whether they're computers, whether they're tablets, whether they're televisions. These are the items that they play out, they put out there to get you in the door or onto the website. And they're going to sell a few of them, but many, many cases, it's really a you get what you pay for. They may work technically, but a lot of them are going to be sluggish. They're going to be models from 2 or 3 years ago. They're going to be the ones that they want to get rid of so they can bring in the new stuff. There's a reason these are on sale. Believe me, they aren't going to put their very best stuff on sale generally. And if they will, it won't be $100 or it won't be 80% off, because they know they can sell them. You're looking for a Galaxy Note 4 or 5. Yeah, you might find a deal for, say, $50. You might find a deal for $100 off an iPad. But be really careful with the really, really cheap stuff, especially. Most of these no-name Android tablets, especially, I would definitely stay away from. Stick to the Asus's, the Samsung's, the HTC's, a few of the others, or the Google stuff, the Nexus branded stuff on the Android tablets. The Amazon stuff, I mean, the new one might be better, but so far Amazon's track record has just not been there for us. So until we're proven otherwise, we really don't have a huge reason to recommend Amazon anything as far as a tablet.
I know a couple of people who have them, and they can use them fairly well. And of course, there's, you know, things like Mayday where they can get live help to help back and forth with things. But in the same reaction to what you're saying, this is something you've heard on a couple of our shows about Windows 10 tablets. They're great one-task things, but don't think you're going to replace a laptop with, you know, a $99 Windows tablet. It's just probably not going to be something.
Well, it depends on you, too. Some people are one-task people. I see a lot of computer users, they just do one thing at a time, whether it's checking a website. I do 8 things at once. I have my email open, my web open, you know, Office, Twitter, this. So that wouldn't be good for me. If you're just browsing the web and nothing else at the time, then maybe it works.
There you go. So everybody is different. Every pocketbook is different. Every ear and every eye is different. It really just depends on what you're looking for. You can do the research now if you think there's one, and read CNET reviews or read other reviews at other websites and get an idea before you walk in. As far as Apple's concerned, you should actually look at the new MacBooks versus the MacBook Pros, the new MacBooks you've heard Patrick talk about that have the butterfly effect on the keys. And Ricky saw them the other day, and she did not like them at all. She was like, if we're getting a new one, we're getting a MacBook Pro. And I was like, well, you didn't have to twist my arm on that. But a lot of people have a very, very bad reaction or good reaction to the new keys, depending on how they type. Devices, you know, there's the new iPad Pro that's coming out, which has a big chip in it. And more RAM.
And it should be up by the time this comes out.
A very large tablet. Yeah, it's like the size of an iPad and a half, an iPad Air and a half. For a low vision person like myself, that makes you all warm all over and tingly. But for somebody who doesn't need that kind of screen real estate, they want to look at an iPad mini. And even the mini was just refreshed. And you might want to hold off on getting an older mini because you don't know where that cutoff line is going to be after iOS 9. You know, iOS 10.
That's true. Although Apple's really good on that. And, you know,
it could be.
Right now they're at Mini 3, or is it 4 now?
The Mini 4. It's Mini 4.
Okay. See, they
Mini
keep
4. And the Mini's iPad been coming out Air 2 is still the current. That's that is more than a year old hardware within it. They actually made the iPad Pro rather than making an iPad Air 3.
You're more safe with Apple than other brands.
Agreed.
You know, you can get and I say that because the Mini 3 might be one that pops in on sale for a significant discount. But that one, I think, should, you know, it was just this past year. It'll probably get updates for a couple of years.
Yeah. There is a big substantial difference between the previous iPod and the iPod they released this year, though.
Agreed.
There is a big, so it's like the iPhone 5 versus the iPhone 6.
Especially if you want Canopy Reader and things like that. Definitely, yeah, I would get the iPod 6.
I would get the latest version of the iPad and not go with the older one, because we have an older one that we got last year for the young man in the house. And he couldn't play some of the games like Jurassic World because the hardware just couldn't run with it. It had to be the newer iPods, and I was shocked. Also, just while we're on this conversation, if you can afford the 64 gig Apple TV and you have a bunch of people are going to download a lot of games and apps in your house for Christmas, I would go with that. 32, you could take up a lot if you have the gamer in the house that's going to take up a lot of storage or space.
And it's only a $50 difference, right?
Right. And that's why the Nimbus controller fit that $50 sweet spot. Of course, Nimbus. I can push down some of my older equipment down through the family, so that works out really well. So that works out really interesting. And that might be another way to pawn off equipment in the family. Yeah. So you could justify the new one. Sorry.
Lynette says on Twitter, fondly remembering the Nimbus 2000, the flying broom from Harry Potter.
Yes.
Is that the one you're reviewing?
I'm not reviewing the Nimbus 2000. That would be a fantastic accessory for the Apple TV. The one before that was called the Stratus. So it was the Stratus and the Nimbus from Steel Series, and we'll have that next week. And it is a nice, fine controller that I've had a really good time with. It makes going through those
activation codes
so much easier. Oh, flick, flick, flick. No. I can just push the D-pad and off it goes. So definitely worth a thing. But yeah, I mentioned the Nimbus and that I was reviewing it for the show, and that was a comment. And that was a good one. Nice catch.
It is. And yeah, it'll come soon. We think it's next week, of course. Unless we have some super breaking news.
Or sweeping changes. May rearrange.
But it's coming.
See what I did?
Ivan on Twitter as well. Any ideas for a new home for an old rail rider? Well, aside from classifieds, if it's totally working and everything, you can sell it there. We, as an AT guys, we do buy old rail riders. If you have a broken one that you don't really know what to do with, we buy them because we will refurbish them and sell them. So, of course, you could do that yourself. But if you just it's in a closet, you just don't feel like messing with it, send us a message and we can perhaps take it off your hands. So there you go.
That is a good thing. You can always write us again at Twitter at blindbargains.com or feedback@blindbargains.com to ask us questions or get some more opinions about things that we may possibly know something about. We do reach from time to time, as in the case with The Last Word.
All of the music cats have ever heard was created by humans for humans. From an age when they were worshipped as gods to a time when they're worshipped online, cats have had to listen to music they often didn't actually like. Until now. This is Music for Cats.
Music to cat's ears. What is this?
I say that this was kismet because I've had this story already in the lineup, and then while waiting to start recording, I actually landed on this lovely commercial in YouTube. You might remember that movie Scrooged, where they talked about how animals could be watching television. They were viewing that they had lost. Well, people have figured out that cats really would enjoy music if given half the chance, but they just don't know what music would work best, or can't necessarily fire up Apple Music or Google Play. You can help them, though, because there is now Music for Cats.
How does this work?
Cats prefer sounds that, of course, are like chirping birds or the sound of their mother and suckling and the sound of other purrs. They figured out tonality, what would work in order to intrigue cats to listen to music. Now, I would normally kind of giggle this off, but Diana Muircast a couple of years ago told me on our previous podcast that my voice, as scary as this sounds, my voice made her cat very excited, and the cat would purr more when I was talking on the podcast, which says something in many different ways that I don't think I want to look into without being on a leather couch.
You brought it up a couple of times. It's definitely stuck with me.
I have not forgotten it. So Music for Cats may actually have some validity to it.
Well, that's cool. I look forward. I guess the collection will be coming out sometime next year. It'll be called Meow. That's What I Call Music.
You beat me to it. Volume 3. With Cat
such
Stevens.
An easy punchline. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cat
Kitty,
Stevens.
Kitty Perry, right? Kitty Perry. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Kitty Perry. Cool. Oh, Kitty Perry. Nice.
See, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a joke there. Anyway, you could listen to the clarity of that for just $55,000 in these beautiful Sennheiser headphones. 55 gray for the ultimate headphones. It is said heaven on earth.
Wait, U.S. dollars?
55,000 non-CAT denominational dollars. Sennheiser.
What's headphones. So amazing about a 55,000? I barely pay $55 for a pair of headphones.
If we've established your entry point. And these weren't Beats, which I think is really interesting because I would have thought, oh man, the new Beats pill has gotten some scathing reviews for the price that it is.
Are they gold plated or something?
Not sure. You know, it's like those cables that, in fact, there was a great article not too long ago about Monster cables, and they used them to have audio files and they could not hear the difference between the Monster cables on similar speaker setups. It was fantastic. Something that as a home theater salesman, I could have told you a long time ago. But yeah, gold plated things can in some cases, depending on how the leads are done. And of course, I'm not going to go too far down this barrel because Patrick will cut in and then give us a diatribe about.
This isn't the first time that they've done this, I see. So they had the Orpheus. Do you own a pair of Orpheus headphones?
I do not. I wonder if those have come down in price now.
Well, no, they actually go up. They said they were $16,000when they first came out in 1991. And now you'd be lucky to get one for twice as much.
It's like sneakers.
So maybe buying one of these $55,000 pairs of headphones could be just an investment.
Yes, I'll put it next to my Beanie Baby collection.
Wow, it has vacuum tubes and everything. This thing is crazy. All right, I'm going to be buying this.
But I mean, that's heavy. It's kind of like, do you need like a neck brace? Does it come with a personal person to massage your neck while you're wearing them? Is it?
Cooling fans? Yeah.
Yeah, 55K.
We have a weight on this thing? No, they don't say on the article. We'll send them a message. Maybe we can get a review unit.
Yes. Okay. Yes. You go to New York, they'll probably just have you come by one of those places you have to go by appointment. Do you remember the Maxell commercials where, you know, the gentleman was sitting in the chair and he would tell the butler to place the Maxell cassette in the player and he would go with a white glove and put it in and these huge speaker stacks and he would sit in front of them and the music would play and it was playing so clean with no distortion on Maxell tape that wind was rushing past his clothes and he looked like he was flying down the highway but yet sitting still.
Even after 500 plays, our high fidelity tape still delivers high fidelity. It's worth it.
Nope.
That's what I think of when I think of $55,000 headphones is guys with the white gloves putting in cassettes into stereo systems.
I don't remember the Maxell cassette commercials, and I don't remember at all because I never had. I've never seen a Beta cassette.
Yes. 40 years from the day that it came onto the world stage and 13 years after they stopped producing them, it seems that Sony has officially ended support for the Beta.
Which makes me wonder, that didn't already happen?
No, it was very popular outside the United States and stayed around. VHS was mostly a North American and NTSC format and still is somewhat popular. Yeah. You can see them in all sorts of swap meets and flea markets today. PAL generally went to Beta. It was very popular in Europe and other forms of Asia and the Middle East. So that was a format that lived on even in video cassette camcorders because a lot of people had their home movies and stuff on Beta.
And that was better than VHS, right?
It was better than VHS. It had more
scan lines. It just didn't catch on. Yep.
It was smaller tapes. Well, yes, and it was one of the first of the big format wars. And Sony caused a lot of people to draw sides and stand on a line. And movie studios were not a big fan of that. And there is an old adage that wherever the pornographic industry and Disney go, that's where the fight will be won. It's how it's going to happen. So they went VHS in North America and that ended that. And so when you couldn't get your favorite movie on the format, then you were kind of sort of stuck. Prices were also a big part of that.
There was an article called the Video Format Wars, and that's what it was called. And that's
and it continued on. It went into not Laserdisc, but into DVD. There was DVD versus DivX. There was HDVD versus Blu-ray. It happened a couple more times after that. I'm surprised we're not having it in the 4K war. Well, we are to a minor extent, but not to the way that we had with 4K, because HDMI kind of sort of forces one to choose a standard.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little too young to remember most of this, but I know, Beta was always a joke in this country. Yep. Uh-huh. But I looked, if you go over on buy.com, which is based in Japan, they do still have Betamax tapes.
Yep.
You can buy them for a few bucks. I guess officially next year, you're no longer able to buy them unless, other than what's left over. Oddly it's hard enough to find cassette tapes.
But it was out there. Oddly enough, it was a way you could only get some films for a long time on Laserdisc, importing Japanese movies of Disney, Song of the South, The Black Cauldron. The Black Cauldron's been released since then, but in the early 90s, I could sell a copy of that, even with English subtitles or Japanese subtitles on it, so it might have been dubbed or redubbed. It could sell for $225 in the store or higher, because there was no other way to get that. The original Star Wars films where Han shot first. It's strange to think. Even vinyl. Vinyl has come back with a vengeance. ZZ Top. There's some people who prefer the original analog versions of ZZ Top's records because they went back in the 80s and redigitized them and put in these different drums and different orchestrations and all this other stuff, and it drove collectors nuts. But purists were really not a fan of that. And it really turned into people like Ryko. Frank Zappa, they were like one of the first kind of pioneers of doing digital reconstruction and making it as close to the original as you could get to it. Of course, it cost a pretty penny back then. It's a little easier now when, of course, it's practically algorithmic. But there was a fine art to that. And I think there's a new Beatles set. I saw Brian Hartchin and others talking about another Beatles release of even more material. More material. Paul singing in the shower from 1962. Hard to believe. That kind of stuff. Well, Prince is my good one for that. When Prince opened Paisley Park, his gigantic club up in Minnesota, he gave the original house DJs like 400 tracks he's never released. They're going to be releasing Prince songs way after we're dead. He just writes like a song a day.
It's just going to be Prince and Tupac albums.
That's next right. Week. And holograms performing. One's going to open for the other.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned to the next BBcast where we'll talk about the reemergence of the 78.
But,
maybe not.
And I'm going to pull out my 8 RPM and 16 RPM talking book collection. That'll be fun.
Awesome. Can't Tom wait Swift to hear and that.
Flying Fortress.
We'll actually have a lot more coming up, of course, in the next BBcast. In a couple weeks from now, we're going to have our holiday special. It's your last chance. If you're a company or someone who sells products or services and you want to be on our holiday cast, email feedback at blindmarketers.com or tweet us or get a hold of us and let us know. We can give you the details on that. And, of course, you can just email us for other things as well. Feedback at blindmarketers.com or Twitter at blindbargains. Or you can tweet at ATGuys or go to ATGuys.com to check out some of the things that we sell over at ATGuys.
And as soon as the holiday of Thanksgiving is done, you'll hear shameless plugs and begging on my side of the screen when it comes to what is your favorite stories of 2015. We had a wonderful start with this program last year for 2014. Then we had some wonderful women step in and talk about their stories that they found were interesting in the middle of 2015. But we've come full circle now, and we have to put a close on it. And we will need your thoughts and desires when it comes to that. So definitely reach out to us in all the weird ways or follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/RangerStation, all one word, to hear the stories that don't make the BBcast or to learn more about, right now probably be a lot of iPad Pro reviews and iPad kind of tutorials kind of things. Because if you see me tweeting a bunch of Apple stories, that may or may not mean there will be an Apple Rundown article in our future.
Ah,
see how that works? The mystery behind the magic.
Thank you so much to Laz for coming on and sharing his new digital media book player. And thanks so much for Patrick for making us sound great. And also thanks to Hims for sponsoring us this week. And you can visit them at hims-inc.com.
I do that a lot, actually. I've done one or two retakes just because of that. I have had to be on my P's and Q's, but moving on, we are going to close it for this week, and we look forward to seeing you guys next week. Until then, have a safe and wonderful week, everyone.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.